mine. Amen? Dacă El este bun cu tine în dimineața aceasta, spune aleluia în dimineața aceasta. Vă invit acum să deschideți Bibliile la Psalmul 78. I invite you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 78, where I will read the first seven verses for the message for today. Psalm 78, a psalm of Asaph, and it begins like this. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, and that our ancestors have passed down to us. We will not hide them from our children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children so that future generations, children yet born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Amen. You may be seated. As Pastor David already mentioned, today is a day of joy, a day of celebration, because we're celebrating with the Zbercha family, with Danny, with Jessica. We're going to dedicate beautiful Hannah Valentina, what a beautiful name, by the way, to the Lord this morning. But Psalm 78 tells us that there's something more important going on. We're not just having a baby dedication. We're not just celebrating baby Valentina. We're not just celebrating children in general. But it's about us aligning ourselves with the will of God to shape a generation. And that's why I want to share this message that I've entitled A Faith That Lives On. Because we are having the baby dedication, because we are focusing on children this morning, I want to talk about a faith that lives on and how we transmit the faith that we have, the faith that we have received from our parents and our grandparents to our children. And the first thing that we are told to do is to tell the story. The psalmist here says, we will not hide from our children. What? We will not hide the story and the stories of what God has done. And for us, we need to remember this morning that passing faith onto the next generation is not an obligation to dread of how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? What's going to happen? But it's a privilege that all of us participate in together. All of us, the church as a whole, Emmanuel as a whole, we are working together to pass on our faith in God to the next generation. The psalmist says over here in a couple sections, he says, I will declare and I will speak. And he's pointing out that there's a personal commitment, an individual commitment that we all have to make in this process. I will commit, I will declare, and I will speak. But then in another section, he says, we will not hide. And he speaks about this collective responsibility that as a church, we all have to pass on faith to the next generation. And the reason is because God's people are always one generation away from forgetting. If you look around our church this morning, the vast majority, 90 plus percent of the people here are because we directly fled communism or because our parents fled communism, right? We all saw with our eyes the horrors and experienced in our flesh, the horrors and the deprivations of communism. And that's why we are in Anaheim, California this morning. But if you look around the schools in America these days, the colleges, the universities, we see that, you know, despite what we know to be true, despite what we have experienced, there are people who are actively calling for communism to be brought into America, to be brought into our schools, to be brought into our cities, to be brought into the country as a whole. 30, 40 years ago when the Soviet Union fell, everybody shook their heads when they saw the empty store shelves, when news came out about the gulags and all of the horrors that happened under communism. It's been 30, 40 years. It fell in the early 1990s. And look, a new generation is rising up that has forgotten all of the horrors that were experienced by the previous generation. And the reality is that faith is not automatic. It is transmitted through our faithfulness to the word of God, our faithfulness and obedience to the Lord, and through the stories that we tell our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7 says, "These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart." So first of all, they need to be in our hearts. But we can't keep them to ourselves, because the very next thing that he says is, "Repeat them to your children." You need to have the truth rooted in your heart, but then you need to repeat them to your children. And he goes on and he says, talk about them. When? On Sunday morning when we gather together and we send our kids to Sunday school? No. He says, talk about them when you sit in your house. That means every parent here, when you are sitting with your children, you talk about the truths of the Lord. And when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and then he goes on. He says, talk about the truths of God and keep on talking them. And when your children are sick of hearing about them, talk about them some more. I am at that point in my parenting career where my children roll their eyes at me nonstop. You know, I make the dad jokes. They know I'm messing with them. They roll their eyes. They're like, "Dad, we've heard it before." That's what we need to do. We need to preach the word of God to our children. We need to model the truth of Scripture to our children. When the sun rises, when we drive them to school, when we sit down for lunch or dinner, when we're playing with them, when we're going to the store, it needs to be an all-encompassing and all-consuming thing that we do with our children. And again, it's not you must do this or you're failing. Because, brothers and sisters, what we are doing today, what we are doing with Danny and Jessica Zbercha, what we are doing for Hannah, what we are doing when we gather at Sunday school, when we join together to worship, when we preach the word of God, this is why we are gathering here. This is part of this process of passing on faith to the next generation. That's why when we preach, we are basically saying, God, your word is important enough to be taught and to be obeyed. When we sing like we just did, we are saying, God, you are worthy and mighty enough to be sung about. When we give our testimonies, we are basically declaring, it's not something that I've heard, it's something that my eyes have seen. It's something that I have experienced in my flesh, in my life, and in my family, that God is good, that God is mighty, that God can save. It's a testimony that I am bringing personally that my God is real. So parents, the admonition for us, or the encouragement for us, is talk about what God has done in your life with your children. And for the church, let our worship prove that God is real, that God is worthy of worship. You know, sometimes we get together and, man, we're singing, we're telling our kids, you know, on the way to church, we're going to Sunday school and we're going to worship God, and God is worthy and God is big and God is good. And then we come over here and we look like we're worshiping a God who is not big and a God who is not good and a God who is not worthy. We tell our children God is worthy, but then they look at our faces and they see apathy. So what I'm saying is, we need to preach in everything that we do. When we preach the word of God, we need to declare that God is worthy. When we sing and when we pray, we need to show our children, brothers and sisters, whether we're in the church or whether we're at home, that God truly is who we say that he is. Faith is not meant to be private and hidden, but shared and spoken. So then, the next point, what exactly are we passing on? If we're being told by the scripture here that we need to pass on, what is it? What is this faith that we're passing on? The second thing that we need to do, found in verses 5 through the first part of verse 6, is that we need to teach the truth. We need to teach the truth. And in these verses, Asaph says that he established two things. He established a testimony and he set up a law. Testimony and law. Testimony is about what God has done, and the law is about what God has said, his word, this Bible, this the scripture over here, what God has said. And again, the testimony is about what God has done. And Asaph says we need to speak about his praiseworthy acts, about his might, about his wondrous works. In Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5, David says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. But then what he says next is, proclaim his deeds among the people. Yet, has God been good to you? Has God worked in your life? Give him thanks. Good. Call on his name. Good. But don't keep that to yourself. This is not something that we only do in our private prayer closet, because the next thing he says is proclaim his deeds among the peoples. That means proclaim them at church. That means proclaim them at Starbucks. That means proclaim them at school. Proclaim that God is good. Verse 2, sing to him and sing praises to him. Tell about his wondrous works. And again, that is what our songs need to be about. That is what we need to do when we worship. We need to be proclaiming about God's wondrous works. I'm not here to sing about me. I'm here to sing about God. I'm not here to sing about what I'm going to do, because what I say I'm going to do today, I'm going to fail tomorrow. But I can sing about what God has done and what God is going to do, because he does not fail. Verse 3, boast in his name. Verse 5, remember the wondrous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. Remember the things that God has done. Remember the truth of the word of God. Faith is rooted in real events, in real intervention. And I think this is one of the advantages that we have as Emmanuel Church and churches in our community, because we come from this Romanian Pentecostal background in which we have this rich culture of testimonies. We look back in our history, in our parents' lives, in our grandparents' lives, and we see how God has come through, how prayers have been answered. Brothers and sisters, I met my wife in this church as a response to prayer. God spoke to me and confirmed in that youth room that she was to be my wife. This is something that I will tell my children, of how God spoke to me when I called on his name. God provided through hardships. There were many times in our family history when we had too little food and too many guests, and God came through. I remember mom and dad telling me stories of how many guests came over unexpectedly when they didn't have enough food in the kitchen. And they said, what are we going to do? We have to feed them all. And they went to the kitchen time and time again. And as many times as they went to the kitchen, they kept bringing out food, because God provided. There was nothing in that walla for those guests. But God multiplied. God showed up. That is the faith that we need to transmit to our children. God provides in hardship, and he is faithful through trials. And it's not just me, but you have those testimonies, brothers and sisters. We have those testimonies in our midst, and we need to declare those things to ourselves, as TJ said earlier, to the world, yes, but to our children, to transmit the faith to the next generation. But it's not just that. It's not just our testimonies that we need to transmit. That's not the only truth that we need to teach. The next truth is the law of God. And that is what God said. In this word, he says, he commanded so that their children might know. And God gave us clear instructions about what is light and what is dark, about what is good and what is bad, about what is sin and what is righteousness. God has revealed his will, how to live in relationship to each other and in relationship to him. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. If you are inexperienced, we find wisdom in the law of God. And that is where our children will find and gain wisdom, is when we teach them the law of God. Testimony gives law credibility. It shows that God is trustworthy. The law gives testimony direction. It shows how to live in response. Testimony builds confidence. Law directs obedience. So, for us, as we're focusing on parents and children this morning, For us, as we teach our children, as we invest in our children, we need to remember that love without direction is chaos. But rules without relationship are cold. God gave both, so we need to give both to our children as well. Because we are not just raising good kids, we're handing down a living faith rooted in the truth of God. Amen? And then the last thing is, trust the goal. And in the second part of verse 6 to verse 7 is we need to trust the goal. And again, the goal is not just teaching children. It is seeing them trust God personally. We're not just teaching them stories. It's about confidence in God. The first thing that the psalmist says is that the goal that we are shooting for over here is that they put their confidence in God. Then the second is that they do not forget God's works, and then that they keep his commands. And I was thinking about this word that he chose, is to have confidence in God. And that means it's not just knowledge, right? It's not knowledge about God. It's not knowledge about who he is, and it's not just knowledge about what he has done. But confidence means personal, individual trust in God. It's not an inherited faith that they just mimic because they saw us what they do, but it's their own personal faith in Jesus. In Proverbs 3 verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that means put your faith in the Lord with everything that you are. There's that trust that comes from the heart. There's understanding that speaks of the mind. And then there's an obedience that comes from our will. Everything that we are, everything that we have needs to have that confidence and put that trust in God. Because we don't want children who just know about God. We want children who trust them. We don't want children who only obey or only know Bible stories. We want children who trust the God of those stories. Amen? The second thing he says over here is remember God's works. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, he says, be careful that you do not forget. Again, remember the Lord your God by failing to keep his commands, ordinances, and statutes that I am giving you today. Forgetting leads to drifting, but remembering anchors us and sustains our faith. We need to keep the Lord's commands. But the thing that we need to remember is that obedience, keeping the Lord's commands, is a result. It is not the starting point. Because you cannot sustain confidence, or you cannot sustain obedience without trust. And you cannot sustain trust without remembering. So we see that trust, that the testimony fuels our remembering, and that remembering builds our trust, and then trust produces obedience. Again, speaking to the parents, a child who is forced to obey without trust eventually rebels, but a child who trusts will learn to obey the word of God. And for us, the application is that we can't believe for our children. But we can prepare them to believe. We can create in Emmanuel Church and in our families an atmosphere where faith can take root in our children and grow. And in conclusion, this morning, one final encouragement that I want to give to our church. We're celebrating Hannah Valentina. We're celebrating with the Zbercha family as we're dedicating their second daughter. But we're also doing something else. We are committing as a church to tell the story, of God's faithfulness in our lives, in our families, and in Emmanuel Church. We are committing to teach the truth of the Word of God, the whole truth from cover to cover. And then we are committing to trust God with the results. It's a joyful moment this morning. It's a celebration. It's not something burdensome. I want to remind you that God has always worked through ordinary people like us when we faithfully pass the truth on to the best of our abilities and empowered by the word of God and by the spirit of God. And I believe that by his grace, that chain will continue. It will continue in Emmanuel Church. It will continue in our families, and that God will protect our children, and that God will build a faith in them that is personal, a faith that is rooted in their experiences, their individual personal experiences with the Lord, and that no matter what comes, no matter what they will face, that they will not be shaken because our God will be with them. May God bless our children. May God bless the families and parents of Emmanuel Church. And may God bless Emmanuel Church. Amen.